This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, wherever you may be tuning in from, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings, and to allow us to visit His house time and time again, and to accept our deeds and our good words and our good actions. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayhi. My brothers and sisters in Islam, last week we began to discuss the purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, this huge worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for us, and not only for us, but it was also legislated for the prophets before us. And there is incredible wisdom in this, and there is incredible purpose in this. And the believer is supposed to strive to learn the purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. He needs to strive to seek this knowledge, because once you worship Allah upon knowledge, it becomes a totally different experience. When you learn the purpose and the wisdom of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, and then you learn the correct way of performing the Hajj wal-Umrah, it'll enhance your Hajj and Umrah performance by a lot. You know, subhanAllah, you will find that two people right next to each other, one is doing Hajj and the other is doing Hajj. Both of them are doing the same thing, but one is doing Hajj with his body and the other is doing Hajj with his heart and with his body. And there is no doubt that this person is at a higher level with Allah Azza wa Jal than the one who is performing Hajj with his body alone. And this is why it is important to learn. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one thing that he did highlight during his Hajj was to say to the people, لِتَأْخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take the Hajj rituals from me. And these three words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imply that we are to seek knowledge. Learn and seek knowledge. Learn how Hajj and Umrah is performed and conducted. And moreover, learn the wisdom and the meaning of every corner and every turn you take during Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. So we discussed already and we began. And we said that the first purpose, or the grand purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, is to establish At-Tawheed in our lives. To establish and to affirm the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And this is why Jabir radiyallahu anhu, he said, أَهَلَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he established his ihram, he founded his ihram upon the words of At-Tawheed. And that is when he said, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. And inshallah ta'ala, in our next lesson next week, we're going to dedicate it to explain this word, this talbiyah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the idea was, that is a purpose. So throughout your Hajj and throughout your Umrah, you're supposed to reflect over La ilaha illallah. You're supposed to reflect over the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is one in His worship. Anything you do during this Umrah, anything you do during this Hajj, everything you see around you, you must recall La ilaha illallah and solidify this in your heart. You need to go back, when you go back to your countries after Al-Hajj, having recharged this belief in your heart so that it remains, so that you remain upon La ilaha illallah until the day you die. Well, Hajj is going to make this possible for you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Then we mentioned the second wisdom and the second purpose of this Hajj is al-fawzu bi-ridha Allah, so that we attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be saved from the hellfire, and that we earn the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and ultimately admitted into the paradise. This is a purpose of Hajj and Umrah, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the authentic hadith, as Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu narrates, he said, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد والذهب والفضة. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, follow up your Hajj and Umrah with a Hajj and Umrah, meaning the repetitive idea of Hajj and Umrah. Keep doing this throughout your life as best as you can. Then he said, فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالذُّنُوبِ, that Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, from their purpose, from their huge reward and their result, is that they wipe away sins and poverty. In the same manner, the blacksmith removes the impurities from gold and silver and iron. So the idea is, when a person does Al-Hajj, he performs the Hajj and Umrah, this is going to wipe away poverty. So Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is a means of enrichment. This is how a person gets rich, and this is how a person earns blessings and barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but they also wipe away sins. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example. He said, in the same manner, the blacksmith removes the impurities from gold and silver and metal. The idea is that Al-Hajj wal-Umrah removes even the most stubborn of sins. Because you know, the blacksmith, he takes the gold when it's first harvested from the earth. It comes really raw. It's all dirty and there's lots of impurities with it. So then he puts it into a furnace, and there is really heavy and high temperature from underneath. And this gold, it melts, and the silver melts. These metals melt under this high heat. And all the impurities arise to the top. And they are removed. And on the other side, pure gold, pure silver, and pure iron pours out. So the idea is that Al-Hajj wal-Umrah removes even the most stubborn sins that can only be removed under the hellfire or in the hellfire. But the Hajj would remove these. Wal-Umrah would remove these stubborn sins that a person has. So this is a purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. We're actually intending to go there, so that we earn this forgiveness and become newborns, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised, that the one who performs a correct Hajj, he comes out as though a newborn. A newborn meaning a new heart, a pure heart, a clean heart, and a clean soul, ready to begin a new chapter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We really want this, right? And this is what Al-Hajj wal-Umrah offers. Now, and the idea is, we also want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, you know, because if Allah azza wa jal forgives our sins, if our sins are wiped away and we are guaranteed to be newborns, then if the sins are wiped away, meaning you have earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Allah azza wa jal does not remove the sins of the one who he is not pleased with. So if a person's sins have been removed and wiped completely, this is a sign that you have earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And this is why we need to focus in our Hajj wal-Umrah and understand that one of the greatest purposes of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is to attain Ridwanullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want this more than we want the paradise, because the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal is the highest level. That's the highest thing you can get from Allah azza wa jal. If Allah Azza wa Jal was to be pleased with you, then your sins are forgiven and you enter the paradise and you'll earn what you want in the afterlife, and you'll be saved from the hellfire, and all of these things that you want will all come if you were to earn Allah Azza wa Jal's pleasure. And so that's the greatest goal and that's the greatest focus, earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, when he mentioned what he has prepared for the believers, from the paradise to masakin al-tayyibah, pure, beautiful homes and castles and mansions and palaces. Right at the end of that ayah, he said, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. He said, and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is much greater. Much greater than what? The pleasure of Allah is much greater than the paradise and its gardens and its rivers and its hur al-'ain and all the gifts that Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for the believers. Earning the pleasure of Allah by the word of Allah, earning the pleasure of Allah is greater than everything that is given to the believers in the paradise. So let's not forget this fact. Well, Hajj wal-Umrah is an opportunity to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So we're supposed to come to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah like the attitude of Musa alayhi salam. You know, Musa alayhi salam, When Allah Azza wa Jal gave him an appointment that he meet Allah Azza wa Jal on the mountain, Allah Azza wa Jal was going to give him a Torah. So Musa alayhi salam rushed and he got there before the appointed time. And Allah Azza wa Jal, when he had seen Musa on the mountain, Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to Musa. He said to him, وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Allah Azza wa Jal said to Musa, what made you rush? Why did you hasten and come here before your people? Why did you rush and come here? So then Musa alayhi salam, he said, what is he going to say? Allah is saying to him, why did you rush to the meeting with me? Musa alayhi salam said, قَالَ رَبِّي. He said, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. He said, my Lord, I rushed to you so that I can earn your pleasure. Allahu Akbar. And so this is the attitude and the word of every believer. Everyone that has made this commitment of going to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Your motto is supposed to be, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. My Lord, I am rushing to you so that I may earn your pleasure. So that I earn your pleasure. وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. Allahu Akbar. This is the believer's attitude. With every command of Allah, with every worship he embraces, you embrace the command of Allah and every worship in hope that you attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Now, even if you've done Hajj before, even if you've done Umrah before, you know, I tell you something. Musa alayhi salam, he's saying, my Lord, I rushed here so I can attain your pleasure. And I ask a question. Isn't Musa alayhi salam already a prophet of Allah from the noble prophets? Doesn't Allah already love him? Allah is talking to him. Hasn't Allah Azza wa Jal already guaranteed him the paradise? So why is he rushing to earn Allah's pleasure? You see, Musa alayhi salam didn't sit on the sideline and say, you know what? I can have a lazy attitude towards worship now because for sure I have attained Allah's pleasure. The believer sees every moment of his life an opportunity to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And so this is why, even though Musa alayhi salam is who he is, a prophet of Allah, Allah spoke to him, he is guaranteed the paradise, all of this, no problems. It did not deceive him. It did not deceive him from the fact that he still needs to pursue in the path of earning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and acceptance. And so that's us. That's us. That's the same attitude we're supposed to have. So what if you've done Hajj 100 times? If you've done Umrah 100 times, doesn't matter. The believer always sees every second of his life an opportunity to refresh that commitment with Allah Azza wa Jal in hope that he gains some more pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. How do you know? How do you know that your last 500 prayers, you earned Allah's pleasure? How do you know? How do you know that all the worships you've done in the past earned you Allah's pleasure? You don't know. So the believer is always seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and acceptance. And this is why, this is what is supposed to be in your heart. I mean, this word is supposed to charge you and drive you to the house of Allah azza wa jal. وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّ لِتَرْضَى. وَعَجِلْتُ. See this word, وَعَجِلْتُ, I'm rushing. A prophet said, I am rushing to you, O Allah. Imagine us. This is a prophet, he's already made it. He's already made it to the highest levels. So imagine us, what kind of ajilt is supposed to be in the hearts and in the mind and in the soul of the believer. Indeed, we are rushing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. We are rushing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And we are rushing to Allah azza wa jal's forgiveness and acceptance. Now, so this is the purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and to do so while rushing to it with that attitude. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the idea is, now when we go to Mecca, of course we have a few days before the Hajj begins. And so there are prayers. Al-Adhan will be called. You'll hear the Adhan from your hotel room. And don't forget, this is also from the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rush down to As-Salat. Come down to As-Salat. Make sure you're there in the front rows as best as possible. You know, in every type of worship that there is, rush to it. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the ayah of Al-Hajj, he says, Al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat, faman farada fihinna al-hajj fala rafatha wala fusuqa wala jidala fil hajj. He said, wama taf'alu min khayrin ya'lamhu Allah.
In this ayah, in where Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to us something about al-hajj, He said, any good you do, Allah knows about it. What does that mean? That's an invitation from Allah. Do any kind of good you can when you're there at the hajj time. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ Any good, even if it was just a good word you speak. If it's just a good work you speak, you're going to see millions of people there, right? People you know and millions that you do not know. Don't be stingy. Don't be tight to speak a good word. To speak a good word. To give salam to your brother from India or salam to your brother from Bangladesh or a salam to your brother from Africa. All of this is goodness that Allah loves. And you do this in hope that you attain Allah's pleasure. Now, because this is a time and a place to do good and to increase in the good as much as you can. Listen to al-adhan for the prayers and sit down and repeat after the muadhin. Don't waste these opportunities, these little things. They're not little. In fact, they're huge in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jalla and could earn you the forgiveness and that pleasure that you want. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that the one who repeats after the muadhin and then the one who repeats after the muadhin from his heart, daqal al-jannah, he enters the paradise. Allahu Akbar. That's in just a span of 1 minute. You hear the adhan and you repeat after the muadhin, you enter the paradise. If you said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and you're seeing these from your heart as you're listening to the muadhin, you enter the paradise. Allahu Akbar. So don't waste these opportunities. Every single moment in the haram is a moment to enter into the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Naam, so this is a grand purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the third purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah is iqamatu dhikrillah, to establish the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, Allahu Akbar. This is a huge purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. And I want to share something about it so that you are always aware of this matter. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الطَّوَافُ وَالسَّعْيُ بَيْنَ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى لِإِقَامَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Aisha radiallahu anha narrates and she says that the only reason tawaf around the Kaaba and the sa'i between the Safa wal Marwa was legislated, the only reason it was legislated so that the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal may be established. Allahu Akbar. That's the only reason. The only reason is so that we can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how upsetting is it if a person is doing tawaf around the Kaaba and doing sa'i between as-safa wal-marwa and he's far away from Allah azza wa jal in his heart. The whole purpose of tawaf and sa'i is to remember Allah azza wa jal. And you know, which I mentioned last week, how sad is it when people are taking pictures of the clock tower, or they're taking pictures of themselves, or they're reading newspaper articles, or they're watching the news as they're doing a tawaf or sa'i, or they're talking among each other concerning worldly matters. These are people that did not understand the purpose of Al-Hajj wa Al-Umrah. They did not understand the purpose of al-tawaf or sa'i. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, he says, al-tawafu bil-bayti salat. Tawaf around the Kaaba is like salat. ولكن الله أحل فيه النطق. However, Allah Azza wa Jal has made it permissible for you to talk in tawaf. Then he said, فمن نطق فلا ينطق إلا خيرا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, then anyone who wants to speak, then only speak that which is good. And the best of words is al-dhikr. The best of words is al-Quran. The best of words is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. These are the best of words. And in another narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَقِلُّوا فِيهِ الْكَلَامِ He said, talk less. Don't talk a lot. This is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instruction to the people that are doing tawaf and sa'i. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الطَّوَافُ صَلَاةِ فَإِذَا طُفْتُمْ فَأَقِلُّوا الْكَلَامِ He said, tawaf is like salat. So if you are to perform a tawaf, reduce your speech. Reduce your speech. Meaning you reduce your speech of worldly matters. And so everything that is related to worldly matters, cut it out. Whether it's you directly speaking to someone else about worldly matters, or it's speaking over the phone or a phone call or on Facebook or TikTok, and all these worldly related matters, take it out of your life. هذا طواف. You came all the way from where you are until you reach the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. You better understand this lesson, that the purpose, one of the greatest purposes of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, is to establish the remembrance of Allah, to continuously be aware of Allah, and to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And I tell you something beautiful, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And this is going to teach us the deep understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum concerning the purposes of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would see the Kaaba, when he would first see the Kaaba, after leaving Al-Madinah and a long travel, then he would see the Kaaba, he would say, and it is reported that Umar radiallahu anhu would say, Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam, fahayyina rabbana bis-salam. He would say, oh Allah, you are as-salam, you are the peace. Wa minka as-salam. And every type of peace we see on earth comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. The idea is this. You know, Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw the Kaaba, it reminded him of the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal and the seeing of Allah Azza wa Jal in the paradise. This is what the sight of the Kaaba should remind you. It reminds the believer of Allah. This is why Umar would mention a name of Allah. He saw the Kaaba and he said, Allahumma anta as-salam. Oh Allah, you are as-salam. When Umar radiallahu anhu said that, who's he remembering? Who's as-salam? It's Allah. It is Allah. Therefore, when we see the Kaaba, it reminds us of the meeting with Allah. And it reminds us when we see Allah Azza wa Jal. And why am I saying this? Because Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said in the Quran, that the greeting of the believers when they see Allah in the paradise would be salam. Meaning when Allah Azza wa Jal sees the believers in the paradise, he will say to the believers, As-salamu alaykum. So look at Umar radiallahu anhu, the deep understanding. He knows that the entire Umrah and the entire Hajj and the entire Tawaf is about establishing the remembrance of Allah. Because seeing the Kaaba reminds you of seeing Allah and meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal in the paradise. So don't waste this opportunity upon yourself, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Now, it's very important for us to be aware of this fact. Allahumma anta as-salam. You are as-salam. You're the peace. As-salam also means that Allah Azza wa Jal is free from all imperfections. Allah Azza wa Jal is perfect in every way. He is as-salam. As-salam meaning every peace in your life, it came from Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, every moment of peace and tranquility experienced in as-salat, in your dua, every khushu' you experience in your tawaf, anywhere you are in al-hajj, it all came from Allah. Anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Every peace you experience, mink, it came from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what a beautiful name of Allah to remember when seeing the Kaaba. And when you say, Allahumma anta as-salam, you are acknowledging, because from the name of Allah, from the meanings of a name, as-salam, means that He is the one who frees the slaves from the evils and the sins and the punishments and the fitan and the hellfire. As-salam is the one who frees us from the punishments and the evil temptations and the sins and the evils of this worldly life. So how much are we in need of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salam? How much are we in need of this name? Allahu Akbar. So as-sahaba Umar radiallahu anhu, this is deep understanding from him when he sees the Kaaba and he says, Allahumma anta as-salam. So we want to, when we see the Kaaba, for the first time, for those that see it, and for the first time in this trip when we see Al-Kaaba, we want to say, Allahumma anta as-salam, and remember the name of Allah as-salam, and remember the meeting with Allah azza wa jalla. When we stand at the Kaaba, we cannot say Assalamu alayka ya Allah, peace be upon you Allah. That's not allowed to do that, because Allah is the peace. How can we give salam to Allah? We cannot, right? We cannot. But when we say Allahumma anta salam, we await the day that Allah himself says to us Assalamu alaykum when we enter the paradise. So the idea of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah, the purpose is to establish the remembrance of Allah. Everything about Al-Hajj wal-Umrah should remind you of Allah. And upon seeing the Kaaba, it should remind you of the greatest things. And that is the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal. And seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters in Islam, if you were to read the ayat concerning the Hajj in the Quran, you will find Allah Azza wa Jal repeats the word al-dhikr so many times. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أيام منا أيام أكل وشرب وذكر لله. What do we conclude from all this? So many times in the Quran and in the authentic sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's all about saying al-dhikr, 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 al-dhikr. So that once again reinforces the idea that one of the purposes of al-hajj wal-umrah is to establish the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. When we're going around the Kaaba, dhikr, engage in al-dhikr. When we're doing a sa'i between as-safa al-marwa, engage in a dhikr. And there is a specific dhikr to say when standing on the mountain of as-safa, and then another dhikr when we're standing at the mountain of al-marwa, which also has a deep and a secret meaning to it as well. Just before we pray the two rak'at at the maqam Ibrahim, we're making dhikr of Allah by reciting Quran and saying, وَاتَّقِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Then when we go to Mina, there is dhikr. Then when we go to Arafah, the best thing to say on Arafah, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Then when we go to Muzdalifah, there's even more dhikr. Then when we get up from Muzdalifah for the next day, we're standing at the Mash'ar al-Haram, and Muzdalifah is all Mash'ar Haram, and we're making dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then when we go to do the stoning, we're saying Allahu Akbar with each stone, and that is dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And throughout all this time, we're saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, and that's all dhikr. And when we do the stoning, that's it. We stop Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik no more. Why? Because we engage in another dhikr. That would be the day of Al-Eid. And we start saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. And we're going to say this after every prayer for the next 5 days, 4 days. And then after the prayers, and not only after the prayers, but there's also unrestricted takbir. And that is to say it at any time of the day and any time of the night. So as soon as we do the jamarat and we're finished and the talbiyah cuts there, no more. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Now we're starting Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What is this? From one dhikr to another. And then we go to Al-Kaaba and we're going to do Al-Tawaf. And yalla, more dhikr. And then sa'i. And then we're going back to Mina. And then the 3 days of Mina are days of dhikr, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Imagine someone goes to Al-Hajj wal-Umrah and misses this entire point. Well, he missed the main thing of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And I tell you something. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Look, there are some people that are going to be remembering Allah in abundance. And there are some people that are going to remember Allah, average remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal upon his tongue. And there are others that are barely making dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there's others that are completely heedless, which is what I was mentioning at the beginning of this talk when Brother Shan asked the question. Wallahi, I've seen it with my own eyes. In the last 3 days of Mina, people are asking, can we do 2 days and yalla, we need to leave? Of course, if you have a medical condition and you're tired and whatever it is, not the average tired, because everyone's going to be tired, but if there's extreme medical condition and so on, do 2 days in Mina and then go. But the idea is, I've seen people leave. They leave the plains of Mina to go back to their hotel, to watch a grand finals, to watch a soccer game, to watch a rugby league game, to watch a UFC fight. I don't know now, during our Hajj time, what kind of tournament is going to be on. But is this real? How can you be serious when you're running away from your ritual of Al-Hajj to go and watch something of entertainment and something of distractive material that is distracting you from a grand purpose of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah? So this, my brothers and sisters in Islam, be aware of this matter. Be careful of this matter. And this is why a man once, he seen Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said to him, Ibn Umar, ma akthar al-hajj. This man was amazed. There was an ocean of people coming to do Umrah Hajj that year. So he said to Ibn Umar, MashaAllah, look how many people there is. And trust me, I know, and I will hear a lot of you saying this as well. And it's a beautiful, trust me, it is a beautiful sight. You'll see millions and millions, and you'll say, MashaAllah, look at the Hujjaj. You know what Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said to him? He said to him, Ma aqallahum. He said to him, no, how few are the Hujjaj? This man did not understand. Ibn Umar is saying, how few? What Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu meant is, yes, there are many bodies here, but those that are doing Hajj with their heart and doing a correct Hajj are a few, are only a few. Allahu Akbar. Oh, Shuraih rahimahullah narrated and mentioned the same thing. He says, Al-Hajj qaleel wa rukbanu kathir. He said, the correct, the actual Hujjaj are a few in number. وَالرُّكْبَانُ كَثِيرٌ And those who've come out to do Hajj are many. And this is narrated by Abdul Razzaq in his Musannaf. So I look at this narration today and I see if Ibn Umar is saying this at his time. You say, Ibn Umar is a companion. Yani, how many years ago? Almost 1,400 years ago. And this is, of course, after the death of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying that at that time. What do we say about our time today? How few are the Hujjaj, the actual Hujjaj, going to be? So be among those few. Be among those that go with purpose and vision. Be among those who perform their Hajj and Umrah upon knowledge and upon deep insight. Don't be there with your body alone. Be there with your body and in your heart and your soul. And come with your knowledge. Learn as much as you can about Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Naam, and remember Allah Azza wa Jal much. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشْهَدَّ ذِكْرًا Open your Quran and put a highlight on this word, أَشْهَدَّ ذِكْرًا أَشْهَدَّ What does this ayah mean? Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ Once you've finished your Hajj rituals, khalas, you're done, you're finished. Meaning, you've finished Arafah, and you've went the next day, you've done the stoning, you've done the tawaf around the Kaaba, you've done the sa'i, and now you've come back to Mina. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, once you've finished your Hajj rituals, فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ Remember Allah, كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا In the same manner, you would mention your father and mother and even more than that. Allahu Akbar. Look, let me explain to you how beautiful this is. You know, when the person finishes the Hajj, the promise of a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that you come out of your sins as though a newborn. There was this word, a newborn. You know, a newborn, when he comes out to this worldly life and he begins to talk, the first words that a child or a newborn says, the first words he says is mum and dad. That's what a two-year-old knows. Mum, dad, mum, dad, the entire day. Mum, dad, mum, dad, mum, dad. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying in this ayah, remember Allah كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ In the same manner, he's saying, make mention of Allah in the same manner you make mention of your mum and dad, أو أشد, and even more than that. And what is beautiful is this comparison, because we've come out of the Hajj as a newborn. So Allah Azza wa Jal takes our minds to when we were new, when we were first talking. How many times did you say mom and dad? If you can't remember it from yourself, you look at your own children. How many times did they repeat mom, dad, when that was the only word they knew? And look at the ID, the IDs. We've just come out of the Hajj. So Allah Azza wa Jal is looking at us. We're like babies now. Really, it's all grown men in the tents of Mina. But actually all these are babies. Everyone's a baby here. Everyone is a newborn. And so the idea of a newborn, what does he know? He only knows mom and dad, that's all he knows. So the Hujjaj in Mina now, they only know Allah. Khalas, forget everything else. The idea of the child, mom and dad, because that's all he knows. And the idea for the Hajj now, for the one that has finished his Hajj, he's a newborn. You've just come out to this worldly life new. But now, the only thing you know is Allah. The only one you know is Allah. So now you begin, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa aw ashadda dhikra. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives us the reality. He says, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal split the people in two halves. He said, some people, all they know is Allah and this worldly life. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. All he's focused on is in this dunya. Give me from this dunya, wallah, and I only need this and that. From this dunya. He doesn't focus on anything of the afterlife and spiritual matters. And the other half of people that Allah said about in the Quran, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَهُ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The others are people that want the goodness of this life, but they also don't forget the goodness of the afterlife. These are people that are connected with Allah. These are people that learned what the Hajj wal Umrah was all about. And then they say, and oh Allah, save us from the hellfire. So this is the idea, my brothers and sisters in Islam. After Al-Hajj, after finishing these rituals, this is all we know. Allah Azza wa Jal, that's all. Allahu Akbar. Naam. And there is a principle here that I wanted to also bring to your attention. And that is a man. A man asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to him, Ayyul jihadi a'zamu ajra. What type of jihad is most rewarding? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aktharuhum lillahi dhikra. He said, those who remember Allah much in their jihad. And then this man, he said, Ya Rasulullah, this man was saying, who from among the people that give donations are greater in reward? And then this man, he said, O Messenger of Allah, who from among those who pray earn the greatest reward? And who from among those that do Hajj and Umrah earn the greatest reward? And every time he would ask this question, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلَّهِ ذِكْرًا. Those who remember Allah in abundance. And so Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he brings our attention to a principle. He said, in every type of worship, those that earn the greatest reward are those who remembered Allah much during that worship. So two people are doing Umrah. They are wearing the same thing. They are doing the same foot count steps. They're doing everything together. But one earns more reward than the other. Why? Because one remembered Allah more than the other. So what's going to determine for you to be the greatest of the Hujjaj that earned the highest reward possible is filling your Hajj and Umrah with an abundance of dhikr. That is the point. That's the ID. The one who remembers Allah more in that type of worship would be rewarded the most. So don't forget this ID. Now, wallahu a'lam. We'll stop here because it's been 40 minutes now. We'll stop here inshallah ta'ala, and perhaps in our next week, which will be our final lesson, we're going to continue the purposes and the wisdoms of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Wallahu a'lam.